It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley. You know, when we open our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, we encounter one of the most remarkable women in all of Scripture. She's not named. She's simply called the Shunammite woman by the name of the town she lived in. She's not a prophet, not a queen, not a priestess. She's just an ordinary woman coming from a very ordinary town, and yet her faith has echoed through the generations as extraordinary. Her story is very short. It's just a handful of verses. Recently, I wrote one of my biographies about her in my biographical novel series. It's called Sacred Space. But within these verses, we see faith in action, we see faith under fire, and we see faith that refuses to give up, a faith that clings to God until resurrection comes. Today, I want to walk you through what I call the stages of great faith, because faith doesn't appear all at once. It grows. It starts out like a mustard seed, and it grows into something mighty that sustains us, and it gets us through the storms of life. Faith matures. It deepens through life seasons. And the Shunammite woman shows us what that journey looks like. Now let's take a look at this story step by step and discover how her faith still speaks to ours today. The story begins with something simple. In verse 9, it simply says, "She said to her husband, 'Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way.'" See, the first thing is she had faith to discern and prepare. The word that leaps out here is perceived. She said, "I perceive that this man is a holy man of God." See, she had eyes to see what others overlooked. Elisha wasn't flashy. He wasn't traveling with a fanfare or a big band. He was just passing by. But she discerned the presence of God upon him. And she didn't stop there, friend. She persuaded her husband to build an upper room. A bed, a table, a chair, a lamp, that's all it was. But it was a space made ready for the holy. That's where faith begins. Not with something dramatic, not with the parting of the Red Sea or calling down fire from heaven. Faith begins with discernment, recognizing the presence of God, with perceiving where God is at work and saying, "I'm going to make room for him in my life." Let me ask you today, friend, where are you making room for God in your life? Do you have an upper room in your schedule, in your home, in your heart? Too often we say we want God to move in our lives, but we don't prepare any space for him. See, the Shunammite woman, she reminds us that the miracle starts with a prepared place. I called it a sacred space in my book. Secondly, she had the faith to receive what seems impossible. Now, because she prepared, Elisha wanted to bless her. And when he discovered that she had no son, he spoke a promise. He said, "At this season, about this time next year, you will embrace a son." Now, her reaction is very telling. This is what she said to the prophet. She said, "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." Do you hear the ache in those words? She had long since buried that dream of having a son. Maybe she had prayed for years, cried herself to sleep countless nights, and eventually she just locked that hope away somewhere. But the man of God speaks, and the word of the Lord breaks through, and at the set time, she embraces the impossible. Now here's the truth, friend. God's promises often reach us at the very place we've given up. See, faith receives what human reasoning says can't happen. Faith opens the door for God to do what the Bible says in Ephesians 3, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What dream have you given up on today? What prayer have you stopped praying because the devil has convinced you that it'll never happen? The Shunammite woman shows us that it's never too late for God to breathe life into what you thought was impossible. And then thirdly, there's the faith that holds steady in crisis. The story turns suddenly because the Bible says one day the boy cries and he says, "My head, my head," and he's carried to his mother, and by noon he is dead. This was her promised child. This was her miracle. She didn't ask the prophet for the son. He offered it to her because of her faithfulness. The very gift that she dared to even hope for, and now it lay lifeless in her arms as she's holding her dead child. What would you do? Most of us would collapse in despair. It's beyond anything I could ever imagine, the thought of my child dying. But the Shunammite woman, she does something extraordinary. She carries him upstairs and she lays him on the prophet's bed, not in a tomb. She doesn't call the undertaker. She doesn't prepare for a funeral. She shuts the door and then she sets out to go find the prophet Elisha. And when her husband asks why she's going, she simply says, "It is well." Oh, that is so important, friend, because so many times all we can do is speak the problem. So many times all we can do is talk about what has died in our life. When she has the opportunity, what does she say? She says, "It is well." Friends, she's not in denial. It's a declaration of her strong faith. That's faith that holds steady when everything around you screams otherwise. That's faith that refuses to call death her final reality. See, maybe you're going through some very difficult times today, but I want you to know something. It doesn't have to be your final reality. God can write another chapter in the story of your life. What do you do when your promise dies? When the dream that you held in your arms, it just collapses. When your marriage, your ministry, when your future seems gone, maybe your career, your job that you loved, and all of a sudden you find yourself laid off. Do you bury the dream? Or do you lay it before God and just declare, "It is well. God is bigger than my problem." See, that's the stage of faith that separates the casual believer from the determined disciple. Faith in crisis doesn't crumble, friend. It clings. Whatever you're going through today, I'm inviting you to cling to God because He can bring your dreams back to life again. Oh, then there's that faith that clings until resurrection shows up. She arrives at Mount Carmel, and she refuses to be turned away. Elisha's servant wants to tell her not to bother the prophet, but she grabs hold of Elisha's feet. She will not leave without him. He wants to send Gehazi ahead with his staff and just say everything will be okay. She says, "Oh no, I'm not leaving you." So Elisha sends Gehazi with a staff, and Gehazi lays it on the boy, but guess what? Nothing happens. Why? Because God honors persistence. Because this was a miracle that would require more than just delegating a task to the servant. Elisha himself comes, and then he prays. He stretches himself over the child once, twice, and finally, the boy sneezes 7 times, and then he opens his eyes. Do you see the picture here, friend? Do you see what's happening here? This is resurrection faith. Faith that doesn't stop after the first prayer. Faith that doesn't walk away when the staff doesn't work. Faith that says, "I'm going to cling to God until He moves, because I will not take no for an answer." Sometimes we give up too soon, my friend. You pray once, and when nothing happens, you just assume that God has said no. But the Shunammite woman, she teaches us something so important, Sometimes you got to pray through. Sometimes you've got to cling until resurrection comes. See, in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 9, the Bible gives us a very important word. It says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up." That's so important, friend. Don't quit on your miracle. Hang in there and trust God until you see it manifest. Oh, then there's the faith that leaves a legacy. See, her story doesn't end with the boy's resurrection. I believe her home became known as the House of Miracles. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about it, but I believe generations later, people still speak about what God did in Shunem. Faith that doesn't just bless you, faith that leaves a legacy. See, your faith today can be the reason someone else believes tomorrow. Your obedience can be the seed for someone else's miracle. See, the Shunammite woman, she reminds us that faith isn't just about surviving the crisis. It's about creating a testimony that outlives you. Sometimes when the devil brings a trial against me, sometimes when he's attacking my body, I just remind him, "Satan, you're building a testimony. I will testify of the goodness of God." Let me bring this story together today. The Shunammite woman, she walked through the stages of faith. Let me give them to you again. Number one, she discerned and she prepared. If you're going to believe God for a miracle, start preparing for it. Start believing God for it. Secondly, she received the impossible. Sometimes the things that God wants to do in our life, they look and seem impossible. But when we trust Him and believe, the Bible says, all things are possible to them who believe. And then thirdly, she held steady in crisis. Are you going through a crisis today? I want you to know, if you hold steady, God will see you through. He'll meet you at your crisis moment. And then she clung until resurrection. She stood in faith until God brought her son back to life again. And then she left a legacy. Where are you today on that journey, friend? Are you in the stage of preparing a place for God? Are you daring to believe for the impossible? Are you in a crisis and maybe you're holding steady when everything screams for you to give up? Are you clinging, waiting for resurrection? Or are you believing to see the legacy your faith will leave to the next generation? And remember, friend, her story points us to an even greater story, because the greater Elisha, Jesus Christ, also came to stretch himself over the dead, not just over one boy, but over all of us. He entered our death, our tomb, our sin, and then he rose again after 3 days and three nights. On that third day, because Jesus lives, nothing is too hard for the Lord. So friend, keep your faith today, prepare your space, and receive the promise.
What does it really mean to be in Christ? The Bible declares, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In his new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, author and pastor Keith Manley takes you on a powerful journey through Scripture to discover your true identity, security, and destiny in Christ. You'll learn how to live free from condemnation, walk in victory, and rest in the promises of God. Not by striving, but by abiding in Him. Whether you're new in the faith or longing for deeper understanding, this book will open your eyes to the life-changing reality of Christ in you.
My new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, or the Kindle ebook. Get your copy today.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.